All right, guys, we're going to get to the next episode of Dialed In real quick, but we want to tell you about our friends at Lal Chevrolet and Buick. I'm having crazy good deals going on right now. Equinox is 20% below MSRP. Most Buick models, 16% below MSRP. Go in there and see the guys. I know that Steve and Josh and Dylan are out racing and are out racing in Vegas, but they are definitely ready to sell you a new Chevy, new or used vehicle, all of your service needs to get everything taken care of for you there at Lal Chevy. Chad and the guys taking care of racers. Saw, like we talked about on the last episode, Jason Lynch, find a new dually from them. They will take care of you, racers helping racers. So go see our friends at Lal Chevrolet and Buick and tell them that you heard about it on Dialed In, please. That would help us out a great deal. So they stand by their service. They do a great job, and go see them today and get a great deal.
Here we go, staging them up on the left-hand lane. The Throwdown Motorsports 65 Chevy 2, 626 on the dial, it's Zach Slump. On the right-hand side, the Icon Pistons Diamond Engine and Machine 74 Vega Wagon, 592 on the dial, it's Jake Hodge.
Welcome back, Dialed In with Jake and Zach, and episode 30 here, we're live, and Zach had an idea that he kind of twisted my arm about, and I guess we're going to do it. I had a pretty eventful weekend, so to speak, in Houston for the NHRA gig, the national event tryout thing, and we're going to get into that here in just a little bit, but Zach, you actually tried to go do some racing yourself, and you spent money while I was making money.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it is what it is. It's pretty much been the story of my season, except pretty much every race I've been to so far has had some part of it rained out, except for the last time I went to Bowling Green. And this time I went to Bowling Green. Not the case. I knew the weather didn't look great whenever we left, but there was a chance that Saturday could get in, and they were just faced with a horrible forecast, and a forecast that was, you know, it ended up going as predicted. It rained a lot. We were third pair back when they shut down. Just got through, you know, not even getting through first down round of time trials for Super Pro. So, but no big deal. I mean, still had a good time. You know, definitely wasn't anything that they could have done different to get the event in. It just rained. That's all it is. Ended up just going out, finding a bowling alley, and Krista and I went bowling and just kind of hung out. So, you know, it's always nice when they won't refund your hotel room, but that's the way it is. We ended up just basically having a relaxing weekend more than anything else, not really too worried about it. They got some of the racing in, and man, cars were flying at Bowling Green. That's another story that we can talk about is the numbers there, the times that are now going to be disallowed. Saw a statement today on Facebook from the CopyLink owner stating that you know, they should have been disallowed because the guard beam wasn't activated. So the cars that,
and on that topic, Zach, just to butt in here real quick, that's not something that is uncommon, because I was in Houston at a NHRA national event with Bob Brockmeyer in the tower all weekend long. And there was a Mountain Motor Pro Stock run that got thrown out. It was a new world record because of that exact reason. So before everybody starts to, you know, throw shade, I don't want to chime in on the mess that's on social media. You know, surprisingly, I don't want to poke the bear, but that happened. I mean, there was the exact same thing, the exact same situation, a national event. If it's going to happen, it's not going to happen there, kind of thing. And it did. So before anybody throws shade at Tyler Crosnoe and Jimmy Bradshaw and everybody that tried to make that event what it was, because it was still a great event from what I was looking at. But before you throw shade, just realize that the Jimmy Bradshaw and Tyler Crosnoe would not ever take credit for a run that they knew was faulty. Never, ever. So leave that at what it is, but it happens. It's part of it. And especially with weather rolling through there, it's just everybody's in a hurry and it's a mad scramble and you're trying to get everything you can in, and it happens. So
yeah, I felt bad for Tyler. You know, good dude to go to that driver's meeting, and I knew walking up what the story was going to be, and obviously heard him choking back tears when he was talking about having to cancel the event. And you can tell, I mean, this is a guy that puts his heart and soul into this, you know, has a great team of guys and got as much done Friday. I know they fought Adversity Friday with it raining early in the morning. It said it took them 3 hours to dry the top end of the track. And, you know, they were out there working a lot of the time when it was raining on Saturday, and they tried as hard as they could, and mistakes happen. It happens everywhere with the timing system, just like you were saying. So look forward to the event next year. Definitely want to go back. Glad they included Super Pro. I thought that was cool. You know, the bracket racers showed up. And
holy demand. Mm-hmm. I mean, all over Facebook, I need an entry. I need an entry. I need an entry. Mm-hmm. And this kind of alludes back to our conversations about races and prestigious and whatnot. What, a 32-car field and 64-car field in the main race?
There's a 100-car field in the main race, yeah.
If they opened that up, it would have 40 more cars. That's it. But right. Since there was a limit, a 100-car limit, everybody wanted after it. So take it for what it's worth, but there's a trend here.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, and we would have liked to have gone Friday, just couldn't end up making it happen to get there in time for the race. But, you know, they did get some of that in. And as far as from the bracket racers' point of view, I know that I didn't hear anything negative about the timing system on the bracket racing side. So, like I said, glad they included Super Pro, and it looks like that'll be a way to go for, you know, successful for the future, whether they want to open that up. But I'm telling you what, Jake, I've seen a lot of cars at Bowling Green before in my life, a lot. And this was a ton. There was a ton of cars. I had never seen a park that way. I'd never seen that many big rigs in there at the same time. We were as far back as I'd ever seen in the grass, because I was one of the last people that ended up getting there. But, you know, it was a lot of cars and a lot of great teams were there.
The thing is I think, you know, just as well as a lot of the racers going in, whether they looked at the forecast or not, if there is a way to get a racetrack dried and back raceable, and you had to pick two guys on earth to do it, they were both there.
Yep.
So I think that was also a pretty contributing factor to the car count. Not saying they would have had any less or any more. However, you know, Crossno is known to drive a tractor in the rain just to keep it somewhat manageable when he goes to get it cleaned for the final prep. So, yeah. And, man, I wanted to go to Bowling Green, obviously not this weekend, but when it first came out, I was like, oh, sweet. And then I got an email from an HRA and thought, well, I probably should go try that first. But, yeah, I think if y'all lay off Tyler Crossno and give him the respect he's not that he deserves, but he's earned, the Outlaw Street Car Reunion will be back, and it was a good event, but it'll be leaps and bounds better in the next years.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell, I mean, the atmosphere there, like, it had an electric type feel to it, even just going through the lanes before the time trial of Super Pro. You know, it was a lot of people there, a lot of, you know, a lot of spectators checking out the cars and checking out the bracket cars too, you know, and they were as into that as they were the other classes. So great to see. And like I said, you know, definitely go back next year. So with that, tell us about this, you know, awesome experience that you got to have. Obviously, you know, first time getting to go announce an NHRA national event, going to Houston. Like you said, you can give us kind of the behind the scenes that the listeners and myself, you know, have never got to experience. So tell us what it was like to see the real behind the scenes of an NHRA national event.
Well, it's not the same as a fan experience. Just to lead out there, it's not all, wow, that's cool. Wow, they just grenaded that thing. Oh, and now we've got a half an hour cleanup. We're going to go get a hot dog. That's not how that works. For one, I don't eat hot dogs, but that's beside the point. It started out Thursday. My dad was going to give me a ride to the airport and bring me home. That was the original plan. And my phone has got something going on with it to where it keeps spitting the charger out of it. An iPhone, like, it's magnetic. It's supposed to stay. Well, apparently I've had it plugged in and had the phone too long or something, but it keeps spitting the charger out of it. So Thursday morning, I'm supposed to be up at like 5:30. My dad's gonna pick me up at 6. Well, at 6:15, he's beating on my door. What is going on? Well, my phone was dead, like dead. So it's all right, no big deal. We get to the airport. I finally get into Houston, go to the racetrack to get my credentials. And, well, I'll back up just a little bit. We're trying to go in order here. Found some barber shop because I couldn't go on screen or on camera looking like I did. So I spent $75 at some barber shop because apparently it's worth that. I don't know. And this guy, he's like, oh, okay, I think I know what you want. And takes like a real short buzz cut up the side of my head. I was like, oh, I guess that's it. So at first, you know, it really wasn't off of the right foot. And go to get my credentials. It's parked right inside the gate, right next to somebody else, parking along a fence line. So it's, you know, just long enough for a passenger car there between the road and the fence line. Just park nose to the fence, walk over, get my credentials. Well, They've got two of me in the system. They're not sure which tag they're supposed to give me because all the NHRA employees have an employee ID number, and you're supposed to sign in with that number so they know that's actually you. There was two of me, and it was all
that's
me.
That's a scary thought, first of all.
Yeah. I'm sure
the world cannot handle two Jake Hodges.
Yeah, I'm sure we could afford to kill one of them. So got all that mess sorted out. And I walk back, and there's a motorhome literally blocking me in with a trailer, little golf cart trailer. It wasn't even a big racing rig. So I'm like, all right, no big deal. They're just going to get their credentials. And I'm sitting here hanging out, having a good time. So 10, 15 minutes roll by, and they start walking back. I thought, sweet. You know, I got the credentials. I'll be able to get out of here. Because there was just enough room behind the trailer of their motorhome where I may or may not be able to squeeze through there. Between it and this 6, 7, 8 foot ditch, but I didn't want to be the guy that showed up at their first national event and told the rental car before the event ever started. So I was waiting. So they walk in their motorhome. I was like, all right, start my rental car up. Waited about 3 or 4 more minutes. I'm like, all right, you know, at some point, this thing's going to start rolling forward. I'm still blocked in by the car next to me, so I can't squeeze out in front of it. And then their motorhome door opens again and they walk out. I was like, so I get out and say, hey, do you mind if, you know, pull forward, back up just a little bit so I can get out of here? I'm trying to get back to the hotel. It's been a long day. And they said, oh, we'd love to, but it's dead.
Oh, no.
I said, could you repeat that? And they were like, yeah, the motorhome is dead. We just pulled in from Las Vegas and it won't start. And I thought, oh, my. So obviously it's gotten hodged. And they were like, they said something along the lines of, we both just retired this year. This is our bucket list. We've hit every national event so far. We want to keep going. And we've got just enough money to where we can make all the national events and, you know, still have a house to come home to. I was like, well, that's cool. You know, sweet. You're driving a Ford V10 motorhome. So I'm not sure. on fuel mileage, how you figured that into your budget, but it's a lot. But, you know, roll it back a little bit. I said, would you mind taking a look at it? You look like you know what you're looking at. I'm like, yeah, any idea of the stuff that I can tear up? Their new motorhome is probably not something they want on that list.
Yeah, there's definitely people that knew you at all.
No. They had no idea. I said, yeah, you know what? I'll take a look at it. I'll try to help you out. And I'm in like dress pants, dress shirt. So I go in there and I turn the key and the lights don't dim. So I'm like, all right, you know, it's something to work with. So we tear this thing apart, try to jump start it from the house batteries. We check the solenoid that's on the chassis, that not the starter solenoid, but the solenoid's on the chassis. All the relays are clicking, got power. All the fuses are good. So I was like, all right, well, there's only one more thing it can be. Oh, by the way, it's a straight downpour. I mean, it's raining sideways. So I said, there's only one more thing it can be. So raise the front of the motorhome up as high as you can and bring me a hammer. And the look on their face when I said, bring me a hammer, they had this look like, I think we made a mistake on asking him to help, which is not inaccurate. But so I raised it up. And I said, all right, try to crank it. And I heard it click, and I smacked it one time with a hammer, the starter, fired right up. All right, so it needs a starter. So long story short, she shuts it off. As soon as it starts, she shuts it back off. I said, hey, what was that for? She's like, oh, I didn't want it to burn you. And I said, let this thing melt my skin if that's what it takes. You know, I'm going to do it again, leave it running, park it, and leave it running until you're parked for the weekend where you're going to be. Okay. So got it running and then put the jacks back down because I've been known to take off with the jacks still down in the motorhome because mine are currently ripped off of mine. So
it happens.
It did happen. Yes. I signed the return road at I-57 with them. So they're like, okay, well, who do you think we should call for a service call? I said, honey, I am from Indiana and I don't know where I'm at, much less who's around here that can help you. So she kind of just had this look on their face of disappointment. So I looked it up and I called this place for them, and it was $150 fee just for the call. And it was $125 or $150 an hour with a minimum of 3 hours. It's like, man, it's a gas Ford engine. So I said, listen, just give me the money for the starter. I'll go pick it up to and from my way back and I'll handle it, whatever. I'll make sure it gets changed before the weekend's up. Now, keep this in mind. I didn't know how busy my weekend was going to be, much less what my job was going to be throughout the weekend. Right. So, yeah, exactly. So they get it parked, and it rolls around to be Saturday evening after qualifying's over at 8 o'clock. And I had an hour to get to the parts store that was 20 minutes away, and I haven't even pulled the starter off yet because there was two different options. You had to match it up. So anyway, got it changed. They were all happy, made pretty awesome friends out of it. They're currently at L.E. Tonglet's shop in I think they said Louisiana or Mississippi. I'm not sure. But the working side of it, Friday morning, start qualifications and time runs and whatnot. And every morning, Alan Reinhardt has the same routine. He always calls the first qualifying round of stock. He says he's got to get his vocal cords warmed up, which, you know, he's the best of the best. Just say yes, sir, nod your head and hang out for a little bit. So stock's over. And he said, you want to do super comp? I was like, well, yeah, I think that's why I'm here. So let's try it. And so he's like, all right, we're going to turn it over to Jay Codge. And it's like, okay. And I just like stage fright for about 10 seconds. What's wrong with me? And it kind of just hit me that, you know, I was announcing a national event for the biggest drag racing organization in the world. And it was kind of just like, it kind of just sets you back and you think, holy, like what, how did I get here other than carnage of parts and a whole bunch of money? And so I got to announce super comp, stock, super stock, everything through there. I announced alcohol stuff. And so Top Fuel rolls around Friday for Friday night qualifying, which is cool. We don't have that around here anymore. Well, I guess Friday night qualifying technically is like, it's still Friday night, but it's not dark. It's not cool. It's not header flames. It's not just pure badassery. So the first interview I did was somebody I knew. So I grabbed Sean Langdon real quick at the top end. So I did top end interviews like on the Sunoco Vision on NHRA TV. I tried to, you know, I told Sean, I said, man, I said, just make this easy on me. So I just kind of, I was winging it. And Top Fuel got over and I went back to the tower because you got to go just commute back and forth in between. And Alan Reinhart, which obviously is the guy that do what he says. You know, we have bosses there, but Alan Reinhart's been doing it for 30 something years. And I walk back into the announcer booth and he's kind of in the room behind it. And he opens the door and says, hey, I need to talk to you. Come here. And I'm thinking, whew, that was the shortest job interview I've ever had in my life. I'm about to hit the plane back home. You know, like it was like a, hey, good job. Let's talk about some things. It was a, hey, I need to talk to you. And that was it. And I was like I'm pissing down my leg. Like, oh, it sucks. You know, I thought it was just the coolest thing ever. And he was like, you did a really good job. He said, just stop saying back to you, Alan. I was like, oh, all right. You know, sweet. Stay for another day. And just the commotion of events, like it takes three announcers to successfully announce a national event, and that's cutting it short because, you know, Alan has things. He teaches Nitro University. He goes and does the YES program, talking to kids and talking about staying in school, and which he thinks is hilarious. He says, oh, I'm a dropout and I'm teaching kids to stay in college. But I think his career worked out all right.
Yeah, he's doing okay.
Yeah, I think he's got that thing down pat. But, you know, Alan does that. He does the NHRA Today show in the morning. Joe Costello goes down and does the walking tours through the pit area, does the walk the racetrack on Sunday morning with all the fans. And you have to kind of be in the tower to relay, like, and now we're going down to Alan Reinhart for the NHRA Today show. Or, hey, in 15 minutes, Joe Costello is waiting for you down at the Mellow Yell display to take you through the pit area and see the ins and outs of the pro categories and all that. But the hardest part about the whole thing is when they're both not there and you have dead airtime and you have to fill that. They don't have music. They got music for like rains and rain cleanup and stuff. But if you're transferring from one category to another and the people are, you know, lollygagging to get in the race car, you've got to fill that whole time. And that's probably the hardest part. Calling the race is easy. I mean, that's the easy part. And it turned out to be a really, really good weekend. I learned a whole heck of a lot. It's not like anything I've ever done before. I don't know. I really enjoyed myself. And to where it goes from here, I don't know. Reinhart seemed pretty optimistic that we'd be working together soon, which is cool. But ultimately, he can suggest all he wants, and he swings a pretty big hammer, and that was word for word. But obviously, it's all political. It's all NHRA, and that's how it's always been. So we'll see. I don't think anybody really knows. They have three or four guys they're going to try out, and we'll go from there to get to the end of it. And I think they'll sit down and tell you yay or nay, which is cool. And I'm not going to change anything I'm doing here. I mean, we got racing program rolling. We got Easton's car just about ready. I think we're going to take it out this weekend. But going to announce, normally Alan announces all final rounds. And I got to do, I think, top dragster, super comp, super gas, and the alcohol cars. And I don't know about you, but I don't know anything about a top alcohol car other than it turns a whole bunch of RPM, whether it's a blown car or no RPM and it's a nitro car. I don't know anything about them. And what was really cool was they have guys that come in for pro mod and like top alcohol that aren't really announcers, but they're like Lewis Bloom, where Lewis has got all these weird facts and pretty cool things that you don't know about him. Well, the top alcohol guy is Will Hanna, and he runs InsideTopAlcohol.com. He also crew chiefs the top dragster car that runner up and it's a former top alcohol car that goes 240 mile an hour in top dragster trim. So it kind of made it a whole lot easier. And every final round goes up on the replay screen, and you got to kind of talk the fans through it that don't know what's going on. And the two funny cars tried to crash, and you can't really talk about both of them trying to crash at the same time because they're both crashing, and neither one of them ended up crashing. But it was pretty wild. And for you and I, we know exactly what's going on. But trying to explain that to people that don't know, that's rough. It was a good time. On the way home Sunday was a great time because I just about got left in Houston, and not because I almost missed my flight or not because I was at the wrong gate or anything. I about got removed from an airplane in Houston, Texas. So our flight got delayed, or my flight got delayed, and I found out that my cousin is on the same flight going back to Indy. He's a few years older than I am, like twice my age. But I was walking back up to like the Hard Rock Cafe in the airport because my flight was delayed 2 hours. It's like, all right, I'm going to sit down and have a bite to eat. And I saw this guy just stumbling down the ramp. And it's my uncle. My uncle's a very, very high profile attorney, or cousin. I call him my uncle cousin. He's the second cousin. Age of an uncle, whatever. He's a very high profile attorney. So I see this guy staggering down through here and another guy kind of holding him up. Well, it was him and his brother. I thought, what are the odds of this? He's like, man, I've been drinking since 10 this morning. He's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, what's your name again? I was like, wow. All right. I was like, well, I'm going up to Hard Rock. He's like, hey, man, I'm going in here to the gate, and I'm going to fall asleep in the chair. So I'm sitting there eating my meal at Hard Rock, and I hear, Jake, Jake. He's walking through Hard Rock looking for me. I'm sitting here at the bar by myself. So obviously he clears out a way for him to get to the bar and pushes people down on bar stools and almost causes a big scene. And I'm not saying I partook in any beverage choices at Hard Rock Cafe, but by the time I got on the airplane, I was feeling pretty confident, you know. And it's not like me. I usually lay pretty low. And I traded this guy a seat walking back through the airplane. I passed my chair. My cousins were like, oh, sit in the back with us. Surely somebody will trade you their aisle seat for a window seat. I said, all right, no big deal. So I walked past my seat, and I'm not being discriminatory. I'm not being anything. But half of my seat was already taken, okay? And I walked back to the back, and there's this young kid. And I said, hey, man, I'll trade you seats. You can have this window seat up here. It's 18D. And the whole time I was trying to pitch this to him, I felt so bad because he had about half a seat and can lay maybe his head in the window. And so we got sit down, but the flight attendant the whole time, she was, if you don't sit down in the next minute, nobody that's standing up is going to Indianapolis. And I said, I paid for this flight. I promise you I'm going to Indianapolis. She said, really? Probably the wrong choice of words, because I was trying to just get seated. And I guess she was rude to a couple other people in the row in front of us, and they'd been in Mexico for 9 days. They were also not feeling very well. So the lady says, you know, you're sitting down right now, or else you can just walk right back off this aircraft. And I said, honey, I'm not walking back off this aircraft. I'm going to sit in this chair with my family here. And she said, well, if you're going to Indy, I suggest you sit down right now. So she walks to the front of the airplane. We start taxiing to the runway. She starts walking back, and I knew I shouldn't have, but she started walking to the back. I started shushing everybody. And I mean, loud enough the people in first class turned around, and I'm sitting in the very back row. So I started shushing everybody. And the flight attendant said, sir, can I help you? And I said, no, ma'am. I just don't want to have any problems back here. I know it's like a no fun zone, so I want to make sure that nobody here gets in trouble and gets in. And at this time, the plane's taking off. And she said, she kind of pulled me to the side, and she said, I hope you know that I have the right to refuse you service and this and that. And I said, okay, that's fine. Not a big deal. And she said, one more comment, I will land this plane at the nearest airport, and you will be getting off of it. I was like, huh? So I was like, all right, I'll be quiet. No big deal. You're right. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And at the time, my uncle, that's a high-profile attorney, turns around and says, actually, you can't do that. I'm like, oh, here we go. You know, I just got her calmed down, just got on the right foot with her, and he turns around and he's going to throw the book of law at her. And long story short, we made friends that were not flight attendants and ended up making friends with the flight attendant before the flight was over, but I almost didn't make it back. And at the time, I saw my uncle walking through Hard Rock Cafe yelling my name, I wisely took my uniform shirt off that had the logo of the company I was working for and stuffed it down in my bag. So that was a trip. So I almost got left in Houston just on the sole purpose of, I guess, attitude, we'll say. And so that just was icing on the cake for the weekend.
Nice.
We got to Indianapolis and walked off the airplane, and I had to find a wheelchair for my family member and had to push him through Indianapolis International, a 51-year-old man that has no handicap capabilities whatsoever. So we had to push him through Indianapolis International. He's trying to throw pretzels in his mouth, and he's missing terribly. So every time I stepped, I was crunching pretzels walking through the airport. So it wouldn't be hard to find us. But yeah, first time I've ever been in the elevator in Indianapolis. The baggage claim was kind of because he almost fell on the conveyor belt looking for his bag. But yeah, it was a good time, and I think the flight home was just icing on the cake. And yeah, I had a great time, and I'll be back working an event near you soon.
Awesome. Sounds entertaining. So what about what was the biggest interview that you got to do?
Oh, I interviewed Brittany Force when she broke the track record, and that was awesome. You know, that was she had just did the same thing at Gainesville on the last qualifier and the last period on the track, and she did the same thing in Houston. That was really, really cool. I also got to ask Jack Beckman, you know, kind of about Terry Chandler, and they had the special funny car body there for her this weekend of the cancer center that she went to, and Jack actually went to the same cancer center, and you know, that was really, really emotional, and that was something that, you know, we're all drag racers, but at that point, you know, if you didn't think you were a human being, you were a human being, because, you know, the connections that Jack made to Terry weren't just racing related. You know, they went to the same cancer center, got the same treatment, and it was just incredible from the word go. And Jack obviously is a talker, but he got to a point where he was choked up and he couldn't really get out what he wanted to get out. And we had to just cut the camera because, you know, it was crazy. And I'd say my biggest interview was Brittany breaking the track record. But I mean, I'm 25 years old and I got to interview John Force, the guy that, I mean, holy crap. The guy that has done it all. He's done everything, won everything, 16-time national champion. I mean, holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah, and, I mean, he's our sports Michael Jordan, it's for sure. That's incredible.
Right. And, you know, and I got to sit in my hotel restaurant in the lobby, and he was sitting in the booth next to me with his car chief. And at 70 years old, John Force is sitting just talking about moving his seat up a quarter of an inch, shortening his brake handle, or lengthening the handle on the brake by an inch and a half because he thinks it'll give him a better reaction time, and adjusting the width of the clutch pedal because he didn't like the way it felt in his foot. You know, he's not lost a bit of it. You know, he's still sharp as a tack. And I mean, a quarter of an inch in your seat. What? You know, going down the track, and you know, what do you do? No, he said he's been anywhere from 065 to 080, and he wants to be 55 to 70. For 10 thousandths of a second, he's gonna pretty well cut the car apart and put it all back together. And, you know, if that doesn't show you how bad that guy wants to win, you know, he qualified number one, Brittany qualified number one. Their cars were on a roll.
Yeah, if anybody didn't see the final or the qualifier Friday night that Brittany laid down to go number one, was 296 mile an hour to the eighth, ran a 366 at 332 to 1,000 feet. So car was straight moving. Beautiful header flames all the way down. That was a hell of a tune up.
Yeah, and you'll find happiness in this. Brian Carotti said that they tore the engine apart and there was only one bearing with 2,000s crushing, and that was it. Like, normally you go 366, there's not a spare bolt left anywhere.
Right.
And everything was reusable. I mean, they run the same block, put sleeves in it, and run it again. It's crazy.
Yeah, it looked extremely clean. So, well, awesome, man. Yeah, sounds like an amazing time. I mean, what a great thing for you to get to experience. And, man, I hope that going forward for you that, you know, it just gets better and better. And obviously now you can always say you got the first one out of the way, right? So everything always gets easier after that first time. So that's awesome. So great story. And so this week, you know, we thought we would, you know, chat with Jake about this, since that was such a big deal and definitely a huge life event for him. And so we're not going to have a guest this week on Dialed In. There wasn't really a ton of racing that happened. A lot of things got rained out bracket wise last weekend. A few notes that we wanted to talk about results wise. They did get the 32 car shootouts in at the Outlaw Street Car Reunion. They didn't get do the runoff. I understand it got really late Friday night when they were still going. So they were going to do the shootout right after our time trial. So that ended up not happening between the the Dorokar and the Dragster winner was going to run off for an extra 1,000. But on Dorokar side, did see Jacob Decker take the win in his red F-body, beautiful car. On the Dragster side, Rick Taylor. Rick's Powder Coating, Rick's Speed Shop out of Memphis, took the win on the Dragster side of that shootout. And other bracket racing note was that I thought was good for the weekend was Bad Brad Plord taking a double up off the top and the bottom bulb down at Bailiton Good Times Drag Strip in Alabama. So in the pro final, he took the win over Heath Davis. So, and they were 0-0 to 0-01 on the tree. And Heath is, Heath is brother of Adam Davis, who we just had on the show. So the Davis boys can definitely drive. So awesome job by Bad Brad. And with that, Jake, why don't you tell us, we are going to cover some of the results for the Houston National, or the sportsman side anyway. So, why don't you tell us about some of that?
Yeah. The top alcohol dragster final was nothing short of, you know, what we expected going into the weekend, because TJ Coughlin and Megan Meyer were really the class of the field, and Megan set, she didn't set the track record. The top alcohol dragster record was actually set in Houston like 10 years ago. I mean, crazy. It was 5:10 with a 3 at 285, and she went 5:11.0 at 284. And that was in Q2, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, she got the win over TJ Coughlin. It was like 20 thou was the margin of victory. It was a really tight race for top alcohol. TJ, he escaped a guy trying to cut his head off in round one. The guy was obviously at a performance disadvantage. Forgive me for not remembering his name, but the guy's 007 in top alcohol dragster.
Yeah, sometimes you guess and you guess right. Door-star.
You know?
Right.
Well, it was a converter car, so obviously he had a little bit of an advantage there, but obviously TJ went like 5:29 at 278 or 280, and the guy was a blower car, and I think he struck the tire or something. I don't know. Regardless, Megan Meyer, the win over TJ Coughlin. Megan is coming off a win in Vegas, I believe. I think she just won in Vegas. Top alcohol funny car, Brian Howe. A car tuned by Yanni Lindberg. It was actually the car Yanni was driving before he got the ride with Jim Head. And I kind of alluded to it earlier. The two cars that tried to wreck in the final round, they both wrecked. They just didn't hit a wall or cross the center line. Annie Whiteley, runner-up to Brian Howe, and top alcohol funny car. Superstock, a really, really good story. Pete Peary, the little Sunfire, his fourth Wally at the Spring Nationals. Like, four times. I think he's 72 years old, 74, don't quote me. He was 002 in the final round, and he was 2,000 behind. Darren Christen was 0-0 and gave the stripe up 6 or 7,000. I mean, it was an incredible race for Superstock. I mean, we're talking bottom bulb racing.
Right? Yeah, those That's guys are not playing.
Quarter mile, long track, bottom bulb, 0-0, 002. I mean, just incredible. Jacob Pitt, the stock eliminator class winner, found himself in the final round of stock, well, I guess stock class winner, I should say. I call it all stock eliminator because that's just what I do. He won class in stock, comes back around for the stock eliminator final round, and just crushes. I mean, Brett Candese has been on a roll. He has Cobra Jet Mustang, and Pitt's doing it old school. 69 Barracuda, like a, what, 9-inch tire? Just, I mean, he took 181 at 6 cars to go dead on 3. All right. So,
hey,
and he's down 7 or 8.
You don't
mile
break
an hour.
Out, it doesn't matter.
And that's what I told him. I said, "Bud, you might be mad at yourself, but your wind light's on."
Right.
And you didn't break out. He's like, "Man, but I was all over the gas." He said, I have a really bad spot in this Barracuda, which, you know, obviously the rear post in the Barracuda is pretty wide. So he said, I just have a hard time seeing it. And he actually got another, I think, 6 cars in Superstock in his Stratus as well. But anyway, Brett Candese was in the final round for the third time in his national event career, and they were all 3 at Houston. 6,000 the margin of victory there. Yeah, and Zach, you got a note in here. I didn't notice that. Candese had run dead on his dial-in 3 out of the first 4 rounds. And that thing was wheels up, and it was hauling. A first final round national event appearance for Vernon Rowland. Got it done in Super Comp. And, yeah, Division 4 is just crushing Super Comp right now, mainly because they've had a few races, and a lot of them have been traveling. But expect that to change a little bit when they go to Charlotte this weekend and they get a little bit more racing on the East Coast under their belt. Chris Vang, runner-up to Vernon Rowland there in Super Comp. And Bob Rowan, he out of Kansas, he has a good-looking roadster. And he just came in and just said, yeah, from the word go, this is mine. He went 890 with a 0 in qualifying. Laid down 8 total against Coy Collier in the final round. And Coy was like, he was 8, take 10. I mean, not a bad lap in Super Gas. Coy won the previous Spring Nationals there in Houston. So he was back-to-back final rounds. Last year, he raced his dad, Steve, in the final round. Steve was obviously driving Top Alcohol Dragster and Super Comp, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But Coy runner-up almost went 2-for-2 in the last two Houston Spring Nationals finals. Baby Larice, they call him Baby Ross Larice, went over Ed Cruz, says William on the tech card, but I learned real quick it was Ed Cruz. And Ed Cruz has a Top Alcohol Dragster that goes 240 in the quarter mile with a delay box in it. I mean, incredible. Screw blown, 521 cubic inch Brad Anderson engine, screw blown, going 240 mile an hour in Top Dragster. Holy crap. They woke up Sunday morning and they had to buy at 3 in Top Dragster. Will Hanna, the guy that I talked about, he does all the Top Alcohol. He's a former crew chief for Top Alcohol cars, and he's crew chiefing this Top Dragster car. And he said, yeah, we got to be careful this morning on our buy run because we were on the buy last week in Ennis, and we had some ignition problems, and we figured we'd throw all the parts at it and see if we can fix it in the buy run. Well, in the buy, they went $599.9 out of here. The new rule on Top Dragster, anything faster than 6 flat, automatic ejection, no matter when, where, what round it is, doesn't matter. So to be on the buy at 3, knowing you're going to the final and the ignition parts fixed it, out of there.
Yeah, crazy.
So they ended up, they took their buy run, didn't go 599. Cruz, the runner up to Larice. I think Cruz was like 007 red in the final, and Larice wasn't bad on the tree at all. So that would have been a really cool final round to watch. But Zach, the Top Dragster cars, there was 2 nitrous cars in the property and 3 blower cars. Everything else was pro charged. And I think that's something that it's worth noting because there are Vortec and pro charger applications all over the place right now. And it seems to be the new choice to make power with. So it's reliable, consistent, easily tunable. So kind of we'll keep an eye on that. But yeah, you mentioned Bailenton Good Time Drag Strip, Plord. He runnered up the Ennis Divisional the week before in the buggy on the double divisional they had there. So
right.
He's on a hot streak right now driving anything. As far as our Spring Fling Million Calcutta, we're going to do between you, me, and ourselves. Go ahead and pick somebody. We're going to do 3 picks. What do you, you want to lay some skin on it? What are we doing here?
Man, you know, I hadn't even thought about that part yet. We'll have to come up with something to bet.
Just think about something that you don't want to do because, I mean, you're not going to beat me, so.
Wow. Confidence. I like that. That'll make it even sweeter when I win. So I'm going to go with Kevin Brannon as my first pick.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Rabbit.
All right. I got G-Dub. He's on a heater.
All right. That's a good pick. Let's see. Well, then I'm going to take the kid. I'm going to take Corey Gilletti.
Yeah, that's not bad. He's not driving very bad right now either.
No.
I will take, I got to think of who my Calcutta picks are that I've gotten Jordan Wyke's Calcutta. So I've got G-Dub. I will take Brandon Taylor.
All right. That gives me one last pick. And
I can't appreciate you writing these down. I like that.
Yeah.
Because last time we were like, well, who'd we pick?
Yeah, we had to go back and listen to it because that's how organized we are that we didn't know that who picked who. So, well, since he's still there, I'm going to take good old Scotty Richardson. You know, I don't know. He's done a thing or two behind the wheel of a bracket car. So I will
never
take him.
Never won the Million. Been in a couple of final rounds of the Million. Never has won one. Won literally everything else. Won the World Footbrake Challenge 50 grand or twice or something like that. Or won it and never went back. So I'm going to give you my last pick, and I'm going to go throw out an honorable mention because there's the guy that I'm not going to pick is probably going to win it. My last pick is Champ, pick Stephen McCrory. Honorable mention is Marco Pervolaris.
Yeah, that's a good sleeper pick I didn't think about. You know, Marco has been absolutely on fire in Super Comp and, you know, accomplished bracket racer too. So he is he definitely is driving at a very high level. So that's interesting. I don't know. I mean, if I was going to say we put one in there for like crazy tiebreaker scenario that probably isn't going to happen. I don't know, man. I didn't think of a good sleeper pick. I mean,
Sugar Shane.
I'm going to go with one. No, I'm going to go with one out of not a sleeper pick, but I'll go with one out of the cars camp. I'm going to go with I would say Mia Tedesco.
That's not a bad pick.
I mean, you know, she can lay down laps that are ridiculous consistently over and over again. That's what it's going to take. I think she's due for one of these huge wins. So I don't know, it's going to be interesting. Going to definitely be watching it this week. I think it's all Bang Shift, isn't that right?
Yep, live. It's getting ready to go live here just before long. We're recording here on Tuesday night.
Sweet. So yeah, definitely be watching that this week. What a great event. I know they got a ton of cars on the grounds. Steve Law's already trying to sell me on it next year, so we'll have to see. I got a trailer long enough now I could put 2 cars in. So
hey, listen son, I'm down. All right. We can pack up and roll out.
There we go. So who knows?
As long as you bring enough trailer tires, buddy, we're good to go.
Yeah, we may have to fill up most of the trailer with extra tires if I'm going to take anything that you own or are involved with at all. But
So I don't know if you've got a final round idea, but I've got one that I think that we can get the point across really quickly on because it's really important. I don't know. Got any objections to me doing this? Speak now, forever hold your peace. The InMotion Solutions final round discussion. Stop running people into the ground. Why on earth are we giving a promoter death threats? Come on. What is wrong with you? I mean, there's nobody's life worth a world record. Nobody's life worth $10,000, $50,000. That's come on. And especially a guy that's done. He's literally worked his hands to the bone to get where he's at in drag racing. You know, he started his own track prep company. He worked it up, and now he's, you know, a manager at VMP and promotes events here, there, and he'll do anything for you. He will literally stop what he's doing. If you have a problem with track prep or a question or anything, he'll pick the phone up and call you and say, hey, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to look for. It's going to work, not going to work, and charge you $0 for helping you. And at the same time, turn it into something positive. Freaking Wes Buck was in Houston, Texas, and he promoted the Mountain Motor Pro Stock Series, and he went to bat for them and said, hey, listen, NHRA, I've got these guys from this part of the world that will travel, and I can promise you an eight-car field for an exhibition race if you'll give me a shot. You won't be disappointed. And was he right? Holy crap. There were the top six cars within like 6 or 7 hundredths in qualifying. You saw a new Mountain Motor Pro Stock world record go down, not the one that was thrown out, but the actual one went down, you know, in eliminations. 800 cubic inches, 4-speed, you know, just raw power. You know, it's what Pro Stock used to be. Just get after it. And instead of burying Tyler Cross, no, go thank Wes Buck. Go thank the Mountain Motor Pro Stock guys. You know, turn it into something that it's going to put our sport somewhere other than behind, because that's what it's going to do.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't believe what I was reading. Death threats and, you know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, come on. I would hope that that's being turned over to proper authorities that are looking into that, because anybody that's making a death threat to somebody needs to be prosecuted. They need to figure out what happened for sure there. And people need to be held accountable, because it's ridiculous. I mean, what are we talking about? I mean, this is supposed to be fun. This is not supposed to be something that's taken as a life or death matter. This is racing, and we need to hold ourselves as a collective, all racers, all among all classes, and even different forms of motorsports itself. We need to hold ourselves to a higher standard than that type of behavior. You know,
right.
Go
ahead.
No, I was just going to say that does nothing but tarnish the reputation of racers for anybody on the outside that reads that gets wind of that story. It just, you know, it's bad for all. So shame on those that did that. Everybody, like, you know, we've said Tyler, you know, in my dealings with him from this race, man, stand up guy, you know, I mean, it awesome dude to deal with. Was trying to run a well-run event, and, you know, it's just silly. It's stupid.
And don't get me wrong, you know, I've obviously said a few things and done a few things that were derogatory, because I felt like I got burned pretty good at some point. And that's nobody's fault, you know, and I've been outspoken about it at times I really shouldn't have. But kind of like looking back to this weekend, like, man, that was awesome. You know, I'm glad that happened. You know, it kind of happened at PRI. For people that don't know, PRI is when I found out I wasn't going back to my job that I was doing the year prior. I was walking through the exhibits at PRI when I was getting text messages telling me that, you know, there was no room for me, and maybe in 2020, whatever. Cool. So for about 10 minutes, I was the most PO'd person. And I went to, about 10 minutes after that, I went to Don O'Neill's press conference where he unveiled his new top sportsman car. And I ran into Warren Evans, and Warren's like, hey, you know, they're looking for some talent to replace Loans. Brian Loans went to Fox. So, you know, you might give it a shot. And I saw Loans. I said, Loans, what's the deal on this? He's like, man, I was talking to so-and-so, and your name came up. He said, give this guy a call, tell him I sent you. And, you know, for 10 minutes, I was the most pissed off person in the whole complex at PRI. And, you know, at 10 minutes, you know, I thought, well, I'm just ready to go home at this point. You know, I really don't need to be here. And, you know, it was a good time. And it just turned into something that I never would have dreamed of. And, you know, the whole one door opens when another closes thing is, it's real. And, you know, I, and I, I'm guilty of saying things I shouldn't have, and that's kind of where it goes, and it's nothing but demeaning to the sport, no matter if you've got a personal problem with somebody or not. You know, that's between you and them, and it should not be public. It should not turn into death threats. It shouldn't turn into, you know, anything other than positive. You make something positive out of it, and that's kind of what I've learned. My biggest thing here is, just work for the advancement of the sport and stop putting it behind.
Right. I agree. And I think that's a good sentiment to end this one on. It's been a great episode. It's kind of different not having a guest on and trying to fill this all this time ourselves. I think it went well, and it was great to hear about Jake's story from Houston. As far as my racing goes, probably going to be heading down to Montgomery here in a couple weeks. Will be the next event I'm looking for, I think, is the Super 7 down there in a couple weeks. Like to go back down that track and get a little bit of redemption after the million that wasn't very kind to me down there. As far as the luck fell, hey, I just pulled in lanes completely wrong.
Yeah, but listen, that's all that was, because if I can go to round 5 and 6, you should be winning every race that whole weekend, okay? Because I was 20 to 39. I came up 000 once when Mia tried to land on top of me with her big wheelie, but that race is the most humbling, and that's the first year, 3 or 4 years, that I've been able to go 3 or 4 rounds a day. Whew, that race is tough, and it's not only tough on you mentally and physically, but, you know, emotionally, you're trying, you roll under that banner, and you're like, man, this is it. I've got to prepare. And you perform and still get beat. That's when you got to put it in the trailer and think, I'm never coming back. And then you're coming back the next year.
Yep. So, I want to go down there and get some more laps. Want to give a shout out to Siebert Performance Carburetors. Car's been running great. Can't wait to get back out there. Hopefully we'll have some better weather. We head down south and in a couple weeks here and get after it for a couple of races that actually get finished. So, stickers, decals, I got tons of them ready to send out. Hit me up, send me a message on Facebook. Let me know. I will make the payment, and I will get them out to you ASAP, out the next day. Did learn something new about the postal system. For our friends in Canada, if you'd like the stickers mailed to Canada, not a problem. Instead of it being 50 cents, which is what it is for me to mail them somewhere in the United States, it's $1.15. So there you go. Costs $1.15 to send a letter from America to Canada.
Yeah, I'm going to Canada. Book my flight for iCar. Yeah, book my flight for iCar Bracket Super Tour weekend number one. But we'll talk about that next week on episode 31 of Dialed In with Jake and Zach. Zach, it's been a good one. Mm-hmm. We will actually start seeing everybody in the standing lanes. It feels awesome to say that again. I know probably take Easton, if he ever gets his butt out in the garage and works on his own car, to the racetrack here this weekend. Mine's over getting wired up. We've got new race pack going in and some other stuffs. And that'll be it. Episode 30. Like, subscribe, share, like and share. Leave us a review, whatever you want to do. And just, if you think somebody should hear it, tell them. I had a guy walk up and say, hey, man, aren't you that podcast guy? I said, you're probably talking about Zach, but yeah, my name's on one. Oh, man, I listened to that, and that was awesome. I've never had somebody do that to me. I was in freaking Texas. So thanks to everybody that has liked and shared and told everybody about this podcast, and even Drag Champ. I ran into Gary Don there in Houston, and we did a little piece together, and you should be seeing that on the Drag Champ page here soon. But, you know, thank you for everything you guys have done, sharing it, liking it, subscribing, rating, reviewing. I'm not sure I've even seen any of those yet. We need to do like a free set of stickers for the best rate that's PG, something like that. But Zach, we will catch up with you here next week. And I'm running late for a kid's baseball practice, so I got to get off here.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Take care. Be safe.